To the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, to him be glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord, which is a portion for our sermon text this morning, comes to us from the book of James, chapter 3, the last six verses. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him, by his good way of living, show that he does things in wise humility. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie, contrary to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. In fact, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and every bad practice. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then also peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation, may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. How is wisdom determined? Are you wise? Well, it's hard to actually quantify that quality, isn't it? We do have criteria for it, at least so it seems. When you're in school, your grade point average, GPA, often goes to show how wise you are. Once you graduate school, perhaps then it's the kind of degrees you get and how many that speak to your wisdom. Once you get into the workforce, well, it's the level of professional success. Perhaps even the amount of money that you make can show how wise you are. But the thing is, you can have high levels of all of that. It doesn't mean anything in terms of real wisdom. The person who is attributed as being the wisest man of all time, King Solomon, what did he say about wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The problem is that there are different kinds of wisdom out there. Those things that I mentioned previously, those would be the kind of wisdom that the world recognizes and applauds. But God has a different criteria altogether about what is wise. His criteria is far better. Much higher than our ways is his ways, as he says. We like to compare ourselves to others. We like to do this in all manners of life, of course. But when it comes down to wisdom, it does not matter how wise you are in comparison to anyone else. The only thing that matters is, am I wise? If you are, what kind of wise are you? To determine this, we need to ask certain questions. Where is your wisdom from? What does your wisdom say and do, and whom does your wisdom reflect? This is how real wisdom is determined, and it's the only kind of wisdom that matters, because the other wisdom doesn't, only produces temporary things, whereas this wisdom, well, it produces salvation. So we pray, O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The book of James is unlike any other book, really, in the Bible. It's thought that it's written very early on in the Christian church, the apostolic church, perhaps even the earliest book of all the New Testament. The reason it is so unique is the purpose of which James is writing and to whom he is writing. In the first verses, it says to the 12 tribes of Israel, that is the dispersion, the Jewish Christians around the world. These would be mature Christians who knew the faith, and yet they were all struggling. They were going through hardships. The whole point of his letter is one of emphasizing, put your faith in action. James doesn't really address how one is to be justified before God. Rather, James addresses how one is to be justified before men. That is, how can we best show the light of love that our Savior has for us to others? It's a book that emphasizes that sanctification quality. He brings up the point that a saving faith is an active faith. A simple knowledge of Jesus does not save you. Faith without works is dead. It's true, because a living faith naturally will produce works. He starts off with quite a question. Who among you is wise and intelligent? He shifts from the first couple chapters of talking about faith and works to now talking about wisdom, another topic that Scripture says a lot about. If you think about it, faith and wisdom are very similar things. You can make the case that faith and wisdom are the same. After all, wisdom is faith in Jesus. But from the point of view of the world, faith and wisdom, well, they're polar opposites. They say that we have blind faith in an ancient book, whereas they have wisdom from science, technology. This, of course, is incorrect. First of all, they too have faith, whether or not they're comfortable in saying that. They have faith in mankind and its collective wisdom. Secondly, they don't really have wisdom. The only way to get wisdom is by faith in the Lord. Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom." Faith and wisdom, they are certainly related. They are similar in remarkable ways. Number one, both faith and wisdom are given to us from above. They're only something that you can have from God. Earlier in this letter, James writes, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." No greater gift that can be given than faith and wisdom. Number two, faith and wisdom are both similar in that while they are both possessed by people, they can only be shown by works. We can't see what's in the heart, but we can see outward deeds. You can have faith that Jesus is your Savior, but if you actually believe that, well, then you're going to reflect that in how you talk and act. Similarly, you can have wisdom, but if what you do is not very wise, how wise are you? Number three, both faith and wisdom reflect Jesus. Solomon might have been the wisest man, that is, until Jesus came. He is the Word in made flesh. Wherever he went, people were amazed at his teaching, what he said and what he did. We have fruits of faith, and they are fruits that reflect what Jesus already has done. When we show forth wisdom, Renette doesn't talk about how great we are. No, it's only because our wise Savior has implanted his Word and his truth inside of us. James' whole point here is that if anyone among us is to be wise, intelligent, well, it's going to reflect Jesus. Here he talks about wisdom that is from above. That is real wisdom. You can be seen as wise from this world and have no faith, of course. But the only way to truly be wise is to have the wisdom from God. To contrast this point, James shows us where that other wisdom comes from, 14 through 16. "But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie contrary to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. In fact, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will always be disorder in every bad practice. The question is not, how wise am I? The question is, what kind of wisdom do I have? If you have wisdom, but it's motivated by selfish ambition or envy, jealousy, well, that's not very much very wise now, is it? In fact, it's sin. Where does this non-wisdom come from? It's worldly, unspiritual, demonic. That's our enemies, Satan, the world, and our flesh. If your wisdom comes from any of these places, it's not wisdom at all, no matter what it does for you. What does true wisdom look like? 17. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then also peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. One time, Jesus was debating the Pharisees and pointing out their hypocrisy. He made this fact evident by pointing out the way that they treated John the Baptist versus how they treated Jesus himself. His conclusion is a little mysterious. Luke 7:33-35. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children. Jesus' point in that section is that wisdom is not just a quality. It performs actions and words. In that case, the highly esteemed Pharisees, who were considered wise, showed themselves to not be so wise. John was an eccentric man. He lived out in the wilderness, lived a simple life, and they called him crazy for that. Jesus, on the other hand, came, lived with and among people, dined with all kinds of people, and for this, the Pharisees called him a drunkard. The Pharisees' wisdom wasn't really wisdom, and it was hypocrisy, and it showed itself through what they said. It was all revealed by what they said. To say it differently, wisdom is justified by our children. A different cross-reference for that says wisdom is justified by its works. To take it in the negative, from a popular movie, stupid is as stupid does. And that's James's point here. If anyone among them is to be wise, well, how will that look like? Let him, by his good way of living, show that he does things in wise humility. If we're wise, well, then we're going to live a life that is humble. What does wise humility look like? Well, he writes it down. First, it's pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good works, impartial and sincere. Do those words describe you? Well, if we're being reasonable, as wisdom says it is reasonable, then reasonably we must conclude, no, we are not. These are terms that describe Jesus, not us, at least not as often as they should. Our sinful old Adam is always not doing these things. Since wisdom is a personal thing, one that is, I just said, can't really be compared to others, well, let me let you into my own personal lack of wisdom. It's your typical Sunday. Just preached God's word and service in Bible class, and I feel good because I've done my job. Then I go and get drive-through. And how do I act? Well, not like this, especially not when someone driving ahead of me is driving slowly or someone cuts me off suddenly. My mouth, which just blessed the congregation, have proclaimed peace to sinners redeemed, now is saying something unpleasant about someone who I know nothing about. James says, just a few verses prior to our text, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things ought not to be so. No, none of those things, that peaceful gentleness, none of that are we good at. That's why real wisdom can only come from God. We all need more of it, and there's only one place to get it. That's why we come to church, to get more wisdom. As a wise man once said that is wise in the ways of the world, one William Shakespeare, "The fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool." Where do we sinful fools go? Where do we go for wisdom? Another wise man says, this time our human author, James, wise in the spirit, James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." The last question we must ask about our wisdom is, who does it reflect? Does our wisdom reflect ourselves, or does it reflect someone else? Has anyone ever come up to you and told you that something you said was remarkable to them or sounded really interesting? Well, I've had this happen, but quite often when something I said is deemed to be notable, it's not original. You can play it off like it's your own, like you made it up, but that's not very wise. We often just spit out what someone else has already said. There's a difference between wisdom and memorization. But not really when it comes to God and His Word. That's why we strive to memorize it. The more ingrained that Word is inside of us, the easier it is for us to use it. But we do need to make use of it. Say that you memorize the entire Bible. That'd be quite the feat and certainly a very positive thing. But as is repeatedly pointed out in this letter, wisdom's only something that can be seen in action. If you memorize the entire Bible, good for you. But if you didn't internalize it and direct it to yourself, apply it to your life, what good does it really do you? The Word of God is living and active, and you need to have it alive inside of you for it to be beneficial. James concludes this chapter by saying, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace." When he's saying that, he's talking about the Word inside of you, having free course in your life. The Word that has been sown in you by others who practice peace, the peacemakers who brought you the Word. Word is a word of peace because it tells us we have peace with God through what Jesus did. Romans 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith to this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God." We are part of that righteousness, that harvest. That seed of righteousness that you have is Christ. His righteousness was given to you on the cross. It was given to his disciples, and they went into all the world, to all nations, baptizing and making more disciples. That seed was handed down through generations, eventually coming to even us. And it is harvest time when the Lord finally brings us home with him in heaven. And that is what real wisdom looks like. Looks like, well, Jesus. When we quote scripture, we don't make it up. It's not original wisdom. But no wisdom really is original, not from mankind. We are dead inside. The only wisdom is from above. It is revealed wisdom. The revealed knowledge of who your God is and what he did for you is wisdom. When we speak and we act like Jesus, that's the only time that we are truly wise. So, how wise are you? Well, you can't point to a GPA or a degree to answer this question. You can't point to personal or career success to answer this question. You can't point to riches or possessions to answer this question. All you can point to is your fruits of wisdom and your fruits of faith. And there's the rub. We don't produce fruits like we should. We should be so much wiser than we are. How often have we missed that opportunity to share Christ with others? How many fruits have we failed to produce? So often we act the opposite of real wisdom out of bitter envy and selfish ambition instead of acting with wise humility. But dear Christians, you're wiser than you know. You are wiser than you realize, because that wisdom that has been given to you is more powerful than anything else in the world. That righteousness, that seed implanted inside of you, it gives life to the dead. We ourselves, having been made alive by Christ, it is the wisdom that allows us to trust in Jesus and allows us to serve him in love. It's the only thing that matters. These words of James, that James writes to these early Christians, doesn't really seem like very good advice, not to the world. Be patient and loving. Be humble and kind. Well, that won't get you anywhere in this world. And that's exactly the point. No, it won't serve you in this world to be these things, but it points ahead to the next life. We know from faith that Jesus is wisdom and truth. The world killed him for that. Being his followers will not make you prosper here in this world, but listening to his word produces spiritual life, fruits of faith, works of righteousness that reflect how great our Savior is. 2 Timothy 3, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How wise are you? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how wise you are. That's the wrong question. The right question is, what kind of wisdom do you have? The answer, I have Jesus. Therefore, I have real wisdom. Wisdom that saves me from my sins. Wisdom that enables me and emboldens me to serve him all the days of my life. In his saving name we pray. Amen. Please rise.